Maybe. Well, it says I'm on. There we go. Thought I had it on. Good morning again. Now you can hear me, right? Well, I can see some of you. Eva, we're going to have a talk. Eva's job is to make sure that you all sit forward. Now, this is a self-appointed task, but I do need to hold her responsible for a job once she has assumed responsibility for it. So, Eva, do you have anything you want to say to these people back there? Okay. Donna? Donna and I were really blessed this last week. You sent us to a conference. A lot of you are unaware of that. Maybe we were gone. But you sent us to a conference, Pastoral Care School is where we went, and it was a very, very busy week. The schedule was from, well, you were supposed to get up at 6 in the morning to have your TWA, time with Abba. Some of us got up a little bit later than that. Had less time with Abba. And your personal grooming, and if you were one of those health nuts and did exercise, do that then. And then breakfast, and then at 9 a.m. we started with our classes. We would then break, went straight till noon. We had 1 hour, which normally ran just a little bit long, and then we would start right on one for the next class, which would go 2 hours. Then we would have a 1 hour nap. Then we had time where we were supposed to be, where we did journaling, and we also filled out a spiritual inventory and did some work with that. And then the evening dinner, and then we had another 3 hour class, which normally went 3.5 to 4 hours. So basically, we were done with classes somewhere between 10 and 11 p.m., and then we had our time to socialize with the people who we were meeting with and praising God with next to us and praying with them. And it was a very, very refreshing and renewing time spiritually, but at the same time, exhausting. It was very tiring, but it was very good. And I just want to let Donna talk a little bit about some of the blessings that we received.
Okay. First, I have to start by saying, as we were driving there, I said, Bruce, why are we going to this? What is the reason for this? And I really didn't want to go, I must confess. The only reason I asked my boss if I could have vacation was because if I didn't, he would. And so I decided I'd better ask. Got there on Monday morning. We drove through the night. It was a good drive. God cleared the roads for us all the way, so we didn't have to worry about any bad weather or slippery roads or anything like that. So that was an awesome praise, because I hate driving when there's bad weather, especially 11 and a half hours. It doesn't impress me at all. But when we got there Monday, we took a little nap before things started. And they were going to give out blessings Monday night. Well, guess who came down with a migraine? So I missed my blessing that night, but God made up for it throughout the week. It was pretty awesome. There was a lot of healing. I went there thinking I was, you know, okay. I was in good shape, mentally, spiritually, physically. What did I find out otherwise? I found out I've got some issues. And one of the issues, a lot of you know that my mom and dad were divorced when I was pretty young. The last memory that I have of my father when I was young was him punching a hole in the wall and leaving, and me chasing after him because he dropped his shaving case and said, Daddy, you dropped your case. And that's the last memory I have of my dad. I had gone through a lot of years. I was 32 before my father came back into my life. The unique thing about the whole situation was we were sitting in service, and pastor was reading from Malachi 4:6, the hearts of the fathers will turn to the children and the children to the father. And I just started weeping. I said, Lord, why can't I know my earthly father too? And I got home that day from church, and guess who I received a phone call from? My dad. After all of these years, my dad calls and says, Donna, we need to get together. I want to build a relationship with you. So that was pretty good. Awesome. That was an answer to prayer. And that was back in 92? 91. And so the scary part about the whole situation was when I was pregnant with Jason, I prayed that I said, God, please don't let me have a little girl because daddies hurt their little girls. And for all those years, for 20 years, it's bothered me. Why would I pray something like that? I wasn't even a Christian, much less, you know, anything else. And I prayed that. I thought, God, why? Why did I do that? Guess what? God gave me an answer this week. He told me that it wasn't because my dad had done anything physically wrong with me, other than he left. And I carried those wounds for all those years. And you know what? I was delivered from them this week. Praise God. Because as a parent, I don't want to ever do anything to harm my children or to say anything to harm my children. And God showed me what hurt me the most was my father leaving. And I just was so excited. And there was just more. There was tons more. That was the big highlight of the week. We were so blessed by so many different people, and we met so many different people on the East Coast that God's got a plan. And each one of us are included in that plan. And he showed me some of that this week. And praise God that it'll all come together and God'll be good. Amen? Do I have an amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right.
It was an awesome, awesome week. As I said, while it was wonderful, it was also very draining. We needed our holy nap in the afternoon. We took our holy nap. it was a very sanctified time. Sleeping. But there was a lot that went on there. Don and I are going to want to talk some more about that, probably at our congregational meeting that we have just informative in first part of March. I can't remember what the date was. I think that was like March 4th or something. We're just going to get together for an informational meeting and discussion time. But at that meeting, we're going to go into some more details about what went on. I want you to know that we had people who were praying for this church, who are praying against any curses that may have been put upon this church in the past. Any spiritual attack that it is currently under. All that kind of stuff. We've got more people praying for this church because of this. And I also had the corporate vice president of the Alliance, Abraham Poon, who was the teacher. He, along with his wife Lillian, were the teachers. He prayed his blessing over this church and that any curses, whether intentional or unintentional, against this church by anybody within authority within the denomination, that those types of things would have even been broken. So I just want you to know that this church is receiving blessing. I think that's a wonderful thing. And I want you to be encouraged by that, to know that there are people out there who care, who love you, who you haven't even met, because we told them all about you. Okay. We're going to be finishing up our section on stewardship. Part 3 of 3, this one is going to be participation. That we participate with our Father in His work. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. Let me start with the 12th verse. First Peter chapter 4, I'm going to start with the first verse 12. But verse 13 is where we're going to be going. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we do participate in the sufferings of Christ. That we also participate in the work of building the kingdom. That we even participate in the building of our own lives for the glory of God. Heavenly Father, we ask right now that You would open our eyes to see how we can best participate with You. Not just in the sufferings. We give You glory and we thank You for that. But also that we are part of the blessings. That we will be overjoyed when that glory is revealed. So Father, send Your Holy Spirit now to illuminate these Scriptures to us. Lord, I pray for myself that You would give me the words to say that are according to Your will and Your truth, that will touch the hearts of the people that are here and lead them closer in the relationship to You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we do give You all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you actually consider the fact that you are participating in the sufferings of Christ? Any of you ever really thought about that? Anybody? A few of you have considered that you participate in those sufferings. Have you also thought that you participate in the building of God's kingdom and the doing of His work here on earth? Have you? Okay. As Christians, you are participating in that, whether you are participating well or poor or somewhere in the middle is a question that you have to ask yourself. Are you doing a good job in your participation with the Lord? None of us is going to do a perfect job. There's only one perfect person, Jesus Christ. Amen. But we are each called to follow His example. What was the work that He did? What did He say that He was doing? He said, I only do that which I see my Father doing. So our job is to do that which we see the Father doing. Which He calls and tells us to do. Now how are we going to do that? Well, first off, we got to be reading our Scripture. We got to be reading the Bible, reading God's Word, and spending time in prayer. And remember, prayer isn't just reciting a laundry list up to God and saying, God, you know, listen to me, and then running away before He has a word to get in, has a chance to get a word in edgewise. Okay? God cannot speak to us when we don't listen. Because he does give us that free will. To listen or not to listen. To pay attention or not to. Now sometimes he does something maybe to get our attention, but even then we often say, oh, well, thank you, God, for letting me know you're there. And then off we go again. Without even stopping to say, what did you want? We participate in the building of the kingdom. Now, to do that, we are called to do several things. First and foremost is prayer. That's what you are called to do. Are you praying? Are you? Or are you just reciting your list? Remember, in prayer is in fact a dialogue with God. It goes two ways. We speak to God, God speaks to us. Individually and corporately, that's the way it works. When we speak to God, we have to give Him time to speak to us. We have to spend time with Him. Get to know Him. Find out what His desire is. What it is He wants for us to do. Listen closely as He lays the details of the plan before us. Or He just says, okay, I want you to go here. Trust me for the rest. When we participate, are we participating according to what He's directed us to do? Now, this is about a message on stewardship. So I'm going to ask about your checkbook, your bank account. Are you participating according to what God has told you to do? Not according to what Pastor Bruce has said. Not according to what George, our head usher, has said. But are you participating according to what God has said? What He has directed you to do. First, He has directed everybody to give that first gifts to God. And He hasn't said give as, until you feel good or give until it hurts. He said a specific amount. He said give the tithe. A tithe is 10%. It's not 8%. It's not 12%. It's 10%. And that's what God's Word said. And He's been consistent with that throughout the Scriptures. He said, give that first 10%. Now, we're not supposed to, at the end of the month, try to scrape together 10% to give to God. The first fruits. God gets His first. Because we have to remember, all of it's His. We talked about the fact that He provides everything that we have. But when we participate in the work of the kingdom, as part of that, He's told us to give to Him the first 10%. Why does He tell us to do that? Well, first off, because it keeps our eyes and heart focused on Him. That's why. Second off, we need to give and be generous towards God in order to have a generous spirit. If you want to learn to be loving, you start by loving somebody. You start by saying a kind word. If you want to learn to be generous, the first thing you do is you give. God wants us to be generous. He wants to be generous to us. He is generous to us. But we have to be generous back to Him. And He promised us, He has promised us, that if we are faithful to do this, to tithe, He will bless us more than that tithe. But we give away, we won't even notice it. Now last week, there was a little story, kind of a church anecdotal comment about tithing, where the guy who ran the local grain elevator in a community was asked to be the treasurer. How many of you read that last week? Okay. For those of you who didn't, I'll give a short synopsis of what it said. Here it was. The treasurer of a church had resigned. They asked this other gentleman to be the church treasurer because they knew he was he was trustworthy and honest and had financial abilities. And he said, I'll do it under one condition, that you don't ask me any questions about the financial picture all year. Just let me handle it. I'll give a report at the end of the year, but just let me do it this year. Don't ask any questions. And after a while, they finally agreed to it, and he did it. Well, he ran a local grain elevator, farming community. Most of the farmers, most of the people who attended this church were farmers, and they brought their grain to his elevator. Well, what he did was, as they brought their grain in, he would give them, he would write out the check to them. But before he wrote out the check to them, in the books he would note that they actually put in this much worth of corn or wheat or whatever. And then he would take 10% off, write a check in their name to the church, and then give the rest of it to them. So they received 90%. Now, in the course, by the end of the year, they'd paid off the church debt, given the pastor a raise, had money in the account, and had sent wonderful gifts to the missionaries that they were supporting. The church was being blessed. And nobody felt a pinch all year. Nobody even noticed. The Lord blessed not just the church that year, but the people. Now, I believe that's an anecdotal story. I'm not real sure that that actually happened. But I will tell you that if you tithe off the top, you won't even notice it. I do that by example. I would not tell you to do something I do not do. Annette is our treasurer. John used to be the treasurer. If you care to ask either one of them, they will tell you that they take 10% of my salary off the top before they ever write me a check. They don't like to do it because it's a pain as far as the bookkeeping goes. But I make them do it because I say, no, I want that first. I don't even want to touch it. Just take it straight to God. And I don't even notice it. It's not something that I miss. I'm happy to give it. And when I do that, I have more of a generous spirit. And it helps me to participate in the work of God. Now, the Bible tells us, Malachi, chapter 3, that if we do not give the full tithe, that we are robbing God. It says, I, the Lord, do not change you. This is Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will you rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of the heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. This is the one place where God says, test me. See if I won't bless you. You also notice it said there that we're under a curse if we don't tithe. That curse is one of a stingy spirit, I believe. Instead of a generous spirit, a generous heart, we receive a stingy spirit. God has a blessing for us of generosity so that we go out and participate in His kingdom. What is the one thing He wants us to do? What is the one thing He wants us to do? Anybody? What? Preach the Word. The generosity of His grace and mercy. What is the Word? That Jesus is Lord. That He has died for our sins so that we could have eternal life. The Word, the Gospel message. That's the one thing He wants us to do. And that comes from a spirit of generosity. If we don't have a generous spirit, why would we share this richest gift with somebody else? If we're used to holding in and being miserly, I'm not talking about being of having good stewardship over your money, but this miserly attitude is collecting and holding, hoarding. If we have that attitude, whether we have much to collect and hoard or not, we're not going to have the attitude that's going to flow over into doing that one thing which He most wants us to do, which is share the gospel with others. Because that is the most important gift, that thing which we have which was beyond price. That is the most valuable thing you have, is your salvation. It's beyond price. And it's yours to share with others. Now again, the point about tithing is so that there might be food in God's house. Physical food and spiritual food. Healthy food. Life-sustaining food. Now we participate in Christ's suffering. When He died on the cross, we participated in that in the manner that He took our sins upon Himself. He did. He took your sins. When He died on the cross, He took every one of your sins. You said, well, I wasn't even born yet. Christ took them. He took those things. He is Lord over time. He took all the sins for all time upon Himself on that cross. Every sin you have ever committed, every sin you will ever commit, every sin any of your children or grandchildren or until the Lord comes, commits. That's, He took them each and every one. And the blessing of His glory when He comes back, we want to be part of. But we want as many people as possible to be part of that too. But if I don't have that generous spirit that I first learn by giving to God, and as I become generous, I'm not saying giving away the house, but a spirit of generosity. It starts there. As God is generous to us, we need to be generous back to Him. And it's like a harmonic. That as we are generous to Him, He is more generous to us, and back and forth, and it builds. It becomes larger. It becomes louder. The grace grows. The spirit of generosity. And you say, ah, this is the most valuable thing I have. I've got to share it. And you do that because you have the generous spirit and you have the joy that comes with it. Because when you give from a generous spirit, you give out of joy. Not out of grudging. Because when we grudge and when we become smaller and we pull in and we don't share our gifts or our blessings. And then we become less effective in our Christian walk, in our sharing of God's love. That's not His will, His desire. Because it makes us less effective for His gospel. It also makes us receive smaller amounts of His blessing. And the Lord wants to bless you. Okay? He doesn't want to bless you a little bit. Ephesians chapter 3. Well, first off, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. We go on. Chapter 2. Consequently, you are no longer, verse 19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together, become a dwelling in which God lives by His Holy Spirit. We're participating in that building. The more blessings the Lord, we let the Lord give us, the better the building. More material for the Holy Spirit to work with as we let God bless us by being generous to Him first. And to each other second. Why? Because He told us to love one another. First, to love one another, those who are brothers and sisters in the Lord, but then to love the whole world as He sees it. He has made each of us members of God's household. And He has given us the inheritance of the kingdom. These are not small blessings. These are huge blessings. And they're for you. And they're for those whom you meet. And the more you give away God's blessings, the more blessings He puts upon you. But again, how does that happen? Through a spirit of generosity. Through a spirit of love. Through joy. Which just happens to be part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Which is best cultivated, how? By spending time with God in prayer and reading His Word. And then obeying what He says. It does us no good to pray to God, to listen to God, to read His Word, say, this is what He wants. And then walk away from it and not do it. My devotional reading today, which I had no idea until right this second I was going to share with you, was in Matthew. And it talks about the two sons. Where the father goes to his two sons and he asks them to go work in the field. And the first son says, no, I will not. And later changes his heart and goes and works in the field for his father. The second son, who says, I will. You can count on me, Dad. And then doesn't go work. And Jesus asked the Pharisees who he was speaking to, which one of these did his father's will? With which one of these sons was the father pleased? When we read his word and we don't do it, we're just like the son who says, I'm going to do it, and then don't. I'm going to do this, but then walk away. That is the worst form of rebellion. Because it's lying instead of on top of the rebellion. It's not just saying, I'm not going to. You know, I have some principle, I won't do this, or I'm just angry with you. There's not even an honesty about it. We have the lying to the face of God saying, Lord, I'm going to do this. Dad, I'm going to do this. And then just not doing it. Versus the son who was at first, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. We see that one going all through the Bible. We see prophet after prophet. What was Jonah doing? He's going kicking and screaming. I don't want to, Lord. Why? Because he no more than got to Nineveh and preached the word and, yep, Lord, I knew you were going to save him. Yep, you did it. You went and had mercy on him. That's why I didn't want to go there. You made me be generous to him, and now you blessed him. But he went and did what it was that the Lord wanted him to do. He ended up being a blessing, even to people he didn't want to be a blessing to. And we can do the same. Sometimes we don't want to be a blessing to people. Anybody here have anybody they don't want to be a blessing to? But you know what? If we obey God, even if we complain about it and say between Him, we say, Lord, I really don't want to. He says, just do it. Be obedient. Okay. He can still and will use us and bless us in the process as we are His blessing to others. We're going to take communion now because even Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. Think about that one. Did Jesus want to go to the cross? He said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. It really wasn't. He didn't want to, but he was willing to. He was obedient unto the Father's will. And by that obedience, we receive the most important blessing. Because without that one blessing, all the rest of them are really, well, kind of pointless. You know, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, 100 years of having a good time here on earth isn't even worth an eternity in hell. And without the work that Christ did on the cross, that was our fate. That was our destined fate, was it not? May I ask the elders to come forward? Butch, you want to join them too? I'm going to ask us each one to do some self-reflection here. Say, Lord, where have I not participated with what you have wanted me to do? Where have I held back where you have told me to bless? I want you to do that self-introspection. I want you to ask God's forgiveness for that. You don't need to tell me what it was, but you need to tell Him what it was. One thing I did learn at this conference this week, it is often necessary to
say verbally what it is we are speaking against in our life, because it's important to tell the enemy, you can't be here, you don't have this anymore. You confess that. Just tell the enemy. You can't be. Just quietly. You don't have to say it loudly, though if you wish to, you may. If you have something that you loudly wish need to proclaim before the Lord, feel free. I want to give you that freedom. But as you pray and confess, ask the Lord's forgiveness, and just tell the enemy he no longer has power in that area because the Lord has forgiven you. And we're going to take the bread and the cup in memorial of our forgiveness. That's in Christ Jesus. Because we participated with Him with the work on the cross. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the bread. Father God, we do thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who bore our sins on the cross so that we could be redeemed and have salvation. That we could be with you for all of eternity. Father, we thank you that it was by his broken body that our sins were forgiven. And it's through his stripes that we are healed. So now, Father, we eat this bread in remembrance of the broken body of your Son, Jesus. We'll receive healing of our sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all eat together.